This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
I don't even know what to feel right now on this one. Brian Koberger, just when you thought the evidence was already stacked against him, like an overfilled plate at an all-you-can-eat buffet, prosecutors have now dropped the bombshell that we've been waiting for, that we've been speculating on, that we've been reporting probably exists for quite some time. Now it's official. It does exist. The receipt for the K-Bar knife and sheath from Amazon. He bought it. And that's the end of the story, right? Joining me to discuss, Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. That's all we got to say initially on that. What was your reaction when you learned about this?
You know, I think I gasped a little bit because I was like, you know, in every case, there are good facts and bad facts. And I thought, you know, he had some avenues to pursue and he's got a fighting chance, just like most other defendants. But this is problematic. This really sort of tips the scales, it appears, in favor of the prosecution, undercuts a number of defense arguments that they were considering presenting, it seems. This is a big development.
I don't know how you come back from this. I'm not an attorney. You are. You've done both sides of the aisle on this, from prosecution to defense. But, I mean, is this as damning as it appears to be on the surface? Does anybody come back from buying the murder weapon? Because they never did find the murder weapon. They have the sheath, and all they have to do is match the sheath to being the one that was purchased. Is this the end of the road for Koberger? I mean, what do you do here? What's your thoughts?
Oh, gosh. You know, before this, he had some potential outs to at least consider. One was that they hadn't found the murder weapon, like you mentioned. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. In a murder case, the jury always wants to see that murder weapon. It had not been located, but now we got pretty strong evidence, it appears, that he bought it. And you know, the inference is it was sent to him and he possessed it and had it. From there, this is a tough one. And it's hard also to argue that things were planted based on this transaction history with Amazon. In addition, the DNA argument that defense was trying to bring, I think, is worsened by this as well. So really a huge blow to the defense.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like everything that they've been trying to argue leading up to this has just, you know, it blows it out of the water. I mean, and even taking a look at that, let's say that they actually did get some of their motions granted, which they did not, obviously. But I mean, even if you tried to argue the DNA, it was planted, things of that nature. How do you argue it when you bought the damn weapon? I mean, that was the last thing before we found this out was, oh, it's the real killer is out there. We're going to find the real killer. You bought the damn thing on Amazon months before. And that's, I think, another key part of this. This happened months before the killings. I believe it was like back in May that he bought this. The killings were in November. That shows quite a bit of planning, especially if we look back at his history of where he was driving around when he likes to look at the stars at night and, you know, stalk girls in college at their homes. There's so much to this. The fact that shows a lot of premeditation, does it not, if he's buying this thing that early? I mean, can they argue, well, he bought it because he liked the knife and then just decided to use it because he had it around? Does it make a difference?
It makes a huge difference in a number of respects. One is that, you know, on first degree murder, you have to prove, like you said, premeditation, that there was malice aforethought, that a person planned this out. They had these nefarious intentions significantly in advance of the act they committed. You know, defense could have argued, hey, this person was unstable mentally. They had some kind of break. Things happened very quickly and led to this horrendous event, which might get you out of first degree murder or at least have a mitigating effect at the death penalty sentencing phase. Here, this shows that he was looking into this, it appears, months before this egregious quadruple stabbing. And so, you know, where do you go from there? How do you garner sympathy when the timeline and the purchases and everything else are really starting to add up?
And they, I mean, they've known this, obviously. The defense has known this. The prosecution has known this. It's been in discovery for quite some time. It's just now finally the judge has said, we need to not do everything in secrecy. So they're dropping a lot of stuff. Does this all make sense when we look back, you know, in retrospect now on the motions that Ann Taylor has attempted to get passed here that have all failed? Well, let's try this. Let's try that. Let's try this. And it all kind of keeps going to be a little bit more extreme, a little more fantastical. Now we're like last week, it was the there's the third party culprit. Are we at the end of the road of attempts now? I mean, does it show just as we were kind of contemplating, it seems like it's getting desperate. Is this why it was getting so desperate?
You know, arguments about planting evidence are always kind of a Hail Mary. It appears based on, you know, what we know that it doesn't happen very often at all. It does happen sometimes. But you know, you're making this huge accusation that police planted this stuff to sort of tip the scales in favor of the prosecution. How in the world do you argue that this was planted now when you have receipts for buying it months before it's located at the scene of this quadruple murder? You know, I just think that we're getting sort of to the end of the road in terms of outs that the defense can possibly present.
How do you think Mama and Papa Koberger are feeling right now? I wonder what's going through their mind out there in Pennsylvania. At this moment,
I've got to imagine if this evidence is authentic, which I have no reason to suggest it isn't, yeah, in terms of the Amazon purchase history, that the parents are, of course, overwhelmed and concerned and distraught, I'm sure. You know, the father had some significant involvement in the aftermath in terms of driving Koberger across the country. What did the father learn during that time? What did he know? And what acts did he take after receiving that knowledge? That's something that, that the government could be looking into.
Yeah, I mean, they could call him as a witness in this, without a doubt. And we know from the book, the Howard Bloom book, of he interviewed a lot of the, not the parents directly, but heard indirect statements allegedly from some of the friends of the family. And it sounded pretty damning of the family seemed to already kind of suspect. That's my take on what I read in that book, was that the family kind of suspected that maybe their little boy is capable of this. And that's got to be a horrible thing to run through your mind and go, well, maybe, maybe it's not. Maybe it gives you a little bit of closure and you're not sitting there like, no, he couldn't go and do this. But, oh, goodness, when you see this now, I don't even know how you reckon that.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.